Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How's the schnoz?
It's fine. It's fine. It's not bad at all.
Is it broken?
It doesn't feel like it.
No?
No. So I think I'm good to go.
Is it still bleeding?
Is it still bleeding?
Yeah.
It doesn't look pretty, but it probably looks a lot worse than it feels.
Yeah, there goes your modeling career.
See, that's cool. You were too pretty anyway. you needed a little of that. I mean, now you look like what? Arturo? No, you look like Mickey Ward.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, Logan played on a torn ACL last year, so I figured I could play with the scratch nose.
What did your boys think when they saw you with the Band-Aid on your nose?
He hasn't seen me yet. He's sleeping when I got home.
Oh, was he?
He'll be up here in about 10 minutes. So.
Hey, the Mankin story is amazing, is it not? I mean, can you even imagine playing an entire season? He hurts it on opening day with a torn ACL.
Hey, you had one of those, and you missed a whole year.
I'm telling you, you talk about mind over matter, and I think, you know, a lot of the mental toughness that goes into playing this game, and certainly he's the guy that sets the tone for the whole offense. And, you know, that entire offensive line group, they never complain, and they just keep going out to battle. And, you know, you got a guy like Logan who's got, you know, an injury that would, you know, be incredibly like I said, it's, you know, every single other person I've ever known misses the year, and, you know, he has a Pro Bowl season. So he's just his toughness, his attitude, what he brings to our team in terms of his work ethic and his attitude is really unmatched. And, it's really a great example for all the players on the team, both, you know, the young guys and the veterans, that, you know, what your commitment to the team and really takes precedent over, you know, whatever you may feel on a daily basis. So he's as tough as they come.
Dice K. Matsusaka missed over a month with a crick in his neck. Suffice it to say, with people like Logan Mankins in that locker room, Tom, not many people are going to miss a game or a practice or a week with a crick in their neck. Fair to say?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, football is just a different, we play once a week. So, you know, really you gear up, you know, for that one particular game. Mm. And, you know, everyone feels pretty crappy on Monday morning just based on the physical nature of the sport, but at the same time, when it comes to play, you just strap on your pads and you go out there and you play, and that's kind of what's been built into our mindset since we were, you know, kids playing this game. You just, you know, it's not like, oh man, I'm not feeling great, you know, I'm not going to play today. It's, I'm not feeling great, the team needs me, you know, I'm going to go out there and give everything I got.
Did you think going into that game that you were going to rush the football more than you passed it? Because you did, 35-31.
Yeah, and, well, that's the kind of balance that we need and we've been looking for. And, you know, when you have guys that can run the ball like we have, you got to give them opportunity. And when they get opportunity, it can really control the tempo of the game. And it was great to see. Steven had a great day running the ball. You know, Danny has made a huge impact on our team since he got here. So it was good to see those guys have a huge role in the game. And that's the way it's got to continue to be throughout the whole season.
Hey, back to Mankins for a minute. I'm wondering if do you actually see it where young guys look at a guy like Mankins, see, you know, what he plays with, what the kind of, you know, pain he perseveres through, and say, you know, I can't let the team down. Does he set the tone in that locker room? And at times, is it unhealthy that maybe guys want to be too brave and probably should sit out and they play anyway because, you know, that's what warriors do?
Well, I think that's the mindset. And it's, you know, that's part of, like, you know, you go through a training camp, for example. Like, you know, we practiced, I don't know how many practices we had. I'd say, I don't know, it was camp 35 days, 36 days. And we probably had 31 practices in 36 days. So, you know, you just try to condition your body and callous your body to the rigors of a 16-game season. So, you know, there weren't many days off in training camp. So when you get them during the regular season, like on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Saturday where you're not hitting, you know, your body can recover pretty quickly. So it's just the way it goes in football. I mean, it's what we're used to. So, you know, you just give everything you got. And, you know, you try to go out there and you be the best you could possibly be. And it's not always – no one at this point in the year is 100% anymore. Right. I mean, the only day you're really 100% is when you report to training camp. And after that, You know, you got to really take care of your body. You got to take care of, you know, your nutrition and stay on top of the little injuries that become big injuries if you don't take care of them. And really the commitment that you make over these next 6 months is when it really pays off in November and December, when you feel healthy and everyone else is really deteriorating. That's why you train hard, and that's why you condition your body to be able to withstand four or five months of football.
You've played with a lot of tough guys, obviously, all your years in the NFL. Is Mankins the toughest?
He's right at the top of the list. I mean, I would say Matt Light was pretty damn tough, too. It always falls to that offensive line position. Dan Copen was pretty tough. I mean, they just slug it out on every play. Steve Neal, I mean, there was not many tougher than him either. So, and those are just the guys on the offense. I mean, that's where you establish your toughness is, I said after the game, is running the ball and stopping the run. I mean, a guy like Vince, a guy like Rodney, Teddy, that just slug it out on every play. And they take, you know, the guards take on the inside linebackers, you know, in the run game, and it's just a downhill, you know, it's a car crash. And I might say when I got in that little fender bender a few years ago here on Comm Ave, I don't remember how fast I was going. The other car seemed like it was going pretty fast, but you know that jolt that I felt. I mean, I didn't really feel anything after that, as compared to what I feel on Monday morning. And the offensive linemen do that every single play. So I mean, it's an impressive thing. I mean, those guys are built for that. I mean, that's why they're playing professional football, because they can withstand those type of collisions. But, when you see it, you never take it for granted, because, you know, you see the hard work and the commitment that they make to be able to do that every single week.
Tom, Phil Simms said on the broadcast yesterday that in the pre-production meeting with you, you said it all just came together in these last couple days of practice getting ready for opening day. Is that accurate? And did you see something in practice in the last practice or two that said, yep, I think we just turned the page and went to the next level?
Well, I thought that, you know, by the middle of last week, we really started feeling good about where we were at. And I wouldn't say, you know, you ever feel really great during training camp, because it's a lot of individual improvement in training camp, and not as much team improvement. You try to individually get better, but collectively as a team, it's a bit challenging because, you know, you're rotating so many different players. You really don't know what the makeup of your team is going to be. And then, you know, after, you know, they cut the team down to 53 guys, you see the guys you got, you see the strengths, I mean, what you're going to focus on offensively and the things that you built on over the course of the off season, and then you put your game plan in, and for the first time you begin to study your opponent. Mm. And you start game planning plays, and you game plan players, these formations, these plays, these routes. These are the positions we're going to get our guys in to take advantage of what you see defensively. And then you go out there and you try to execute those in practice. And when they start looking pretty good, then you obviously develop a lot more confidence. I mean, the preseason is a bit challenging because, you just go into some of those games and you have no idea the guys you're really playing right against, because you haven't really studied them much. You're really focused on, you know, your own, the Patriots improvement. But, you know, I love the fact that, you know, when you know your opponent, you can really anticipate things, you know, that's what you're trying to accomplish. So that's what we did, and I thought, you know, it was really a solid week of practice, and it resulted in a solid game. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but at least it's something that we can go build on.
Tom, if I ask you who your favorite son is, you'd be hard-pressed to give me an answer and probably wouldn't. So this is probably folly to ask you this. But who's your favorite weapon? Who's your favorite son on the team? Is it Gronk? Is it Welker? Is it Hernandez? Is it Lloyd? Or is it Ridley?
Well, I mean, that's impossible. I got so much confidence in all those guys. And I think the thing that's been fun is everyone is willing to put the work in. I mean, nobody works harder than Wes. I mean, what he commits on a daily basis is so, you know, impressive. And talk about a leader for the team, you know, between his work ethic. I mean, what he does is, it's really second to none. And then you have Rob and Aaron, who have done so much in such a short period of time that, and they both love the game. Brandon, you know, has done everything that the coaches have asked him to do. The way Stevens worked, I mean, the way Julian Edelman has worked to put himself in a position where really he battled all training camp against three receivers who have, you know, in Dante and Jabbar and Deion, who, you know, aren't on the roster at this time, but, you know, the competitiveness that he showed. So, you know, I have so much confidence in the guys that I'm out there with, and, you know, really it's a matter of me just trying to find a matchup and throwing the ball to the right place. So it's not really like pick a guy out and throw it to him. It's let's see what the defense has given us, and let's try to, you know, get the ball to that guy.
How many of the running plays were called at the line when you stepped the line and you looked and saw, whatever, six DBs, you saw them back in coverage, and you checked off to a run?
Well, hopefully, you know, we don't run it into too many defensive looks where it's not a good look. You know, we're always trying to find, you know, good matchups in the run game and in the pass game. So if they're covering you up inside, you got to run it outside. If they're covering you outside, you run it inside. If they're all down there, you got to throw it. If they're back, you know, you got to run it. I mean, it's just that's the chess match of football. So, you know, a lot of that comes from the sideline. Certainly I have flexibility within our offense to get us into a play that may look a little bit better. You know, but it's just a matter of the guys ultimately going out and executing and winning one-on-one blocks. And, you know, a guy like Steven ran through a lot of tackles yesterday, a lot of arm tackles. And, you know, sometimes you can't block everybody on a play. And, you know, the running back has to make a guy miss, you know. And that's what, you know, I thought he did a great job yesterday. His decisiveness, making those cuts, getting downhill, running through tackles, gaining extra yards after contact. I mean, that's how you run for, you know, whatever, 120 yards because, you know, he's able to, you know, to really run with power and get downhill. And, I mean, he's a load when he gets going downhill.
Hey, Brandon Lloyd had 5 catches, only 10 more, and he ties Ocho Cinco from last year. This Ocho Cinco will have 15. I'm guessing you're hoping he ends up with a few more than that. Can you tell us, I know you're not going to say it's his fault, but on the long pass, the incompletion, the first pass to him, you just missed. Is that a kind of play where a month from now you won't miss?
Well, I'm pretty confident we're not going to miss another one of those off season. So, you know, it's just it was a great play call. We got, you know, they really, you know, sold the reverse that we ran to Wes. Yep. And we just didn't connect. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we got to connect. That's the point. And we can't, in close games, we know we're not going to be able to miss those. But, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to think that, you know, we're going to miss another one of those. So,
hey, Tom, what about your favorite of the 23 completions? Was it the back shoulder to Lloyd or the touchdown to Hernandez, where I think Hernandez was your third or fourth read on that play, was he not?
Yeah, there was you know, that was a big play for us, you know, to start the game. I mean, it's always, when you go on the road, you really want to start fast and try to, you know, minimize with the crowd being into the game. And because, you know, that's the issue on the road is the communication. So when the crowd gets, you know, hyped up, you know, you got to be able to settle them down. And you know, when we scored there in the first quarter, you know, that really helps out, and we can gain a little bit of momentum. We got a defense touchdown, then we scored again. So that's the way to get the crowd out of the game. So, you know, that was a big play in the game. That throw to Brandon we've been working on for the last 5 or 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they want to bunch up and cover inside, we got to throw the ball outside, and Brandon is certainly a threat and being able to do that. And he made that catch on the sideline where he ran that little post corner,
yeah,
ended up challenging it. What a phenomenal catch that was, too. So, you know, he's a weapon for us, you know, along with, you know, Aaron and Rob and Julian and Wes. And, you know, so whoever they're not going to cover, that's who we're going to try to throw the ball to. And that's what makes a good offense. So I thought we were really balanced yesterday. We're going to continue to need to be balanced. Like I said, it wasn't perfect. We left plenty of yards out there and plays out there. And hopefully, you know, we can improve this week and go out there and play a lot better next week.
When you hit Welker in the mask, is that about as hard as you can throw a football?
I had a lot on that ball.
Yeah.
You know, and it jumped up on him. So he was flying out of his break, and he was open, and I let one loose. So, yeah, I mean, I had a lot on that one.
Do you know how fast your fastest fastball is, Tom, on a radar gun?
I haven't really done that.
What do you think it is? You're a baseball guy.
If I was throwing a baseball or if I was throwing a football?
Football.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. It's tough to say.
Do you ever feel like it's your fault because you threw it too hard?
That can be a problem. Yeah. I mean, and there's no question that can be a problem. It's not how hard you throw it or, you know, a lot of times I see that in the NFL is, you know, they blame the receiver for a drop.
Right.
But the reality is, I mean, the ball is coming so friggin' hard. I mean, it's, you need a mitt to catch the ball, you know? So, you know, the passing game is throwing it and catching it. It's not, you know, just throwing it and it's not just catching it. I mean, you got to give those guys catchable balls and, you know, they got to make tough catches sometimes where, you know, really there's some places where you can only throw it and they got to catch it. There's sometimes where he's open, but if you throw, you know, a 98 mile an hour fastball, you know, the chances of him catching it are a lot less than if you threw an 80 mile an hour fastball, you know? So not that I'm throwing a 98 with a football, but I mean, you obviously as baseball, you know, baseball guys, you understand the correlation, but you know, you got to throw catchable balls, and that's to the running backs, that's the tight ends. You know, obviously, the tighter the coverage, you know, the harder you got to throw it. But you know, if a guy's wide open, you got to give him a nice catchable ball because that's the other half of throwing it is catching it.
Hey, Tom, there were three consecutive passes in the third quarter that were low and at the receiver's feet. One to Edelman that he bobbled, and I thought he might have actually caught it. One that Gronk did catch, and one at somebody else's feet. Was that a mechanical situation where three in a row were down in the dirt?
Yeah, it was just a little yes, it was. It was. And, you know, I got that corrected. So you just get a little indecisive at times. And when I get it indecisive, my throws end up being a little bit low.
Mm-hmm. Like a D-cell?
Like a D-cell, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm not quite sure, you know, and but, you know, we got that figured out.
I assume Josh McDaniels had a good day in his return, his first regular season game. Can you give us an example of something Josh did or said that helped yesterday?
I mean, he's got such a great feel for the defense and what they're doing and, you know, the rhythm of the game and, you know, our players and who he wants to get involved on a particular play. So, you know, he's awesome. He does a great job. We, you know, I've so much confidence in him and we know each other so well. I mean, we've known each other for 12 years. So, I mean, I thought there were some things going into the game, the keys, the things to look for that are really second to none from, you know, what he's calling and what he's preparing me to do. And, you know, I really, you know, can't say enough about him and you know, really his commitment to our team also. I mean, he expects, you know, perfection from us. And, you know, he's disappointed when we don't do that, whether it's in a walkthrough, whether it's in a practice, and certainly in a game. But he's got tremendous poise. You know, I feel like he's always a step ahead of the defense. So it's been a, you know, it was a fun day yesterday getting off to a good start.
You know, the play was over. The whistle had blown before. You were down before Wembley's knee came into your face. Do you think he crossed the line at all? Have you seen it on tape?
I haven't seen it, no. I mean, it's just part of football. I mean, he tackled me. You know, he's trying to get a sack. I don't think it was, you know, anything intentional. He's a hell of a player. I mean, I just think it's one of those things where you get, you know, just caught in the wrong spot.
Yeah, so we've labeled it a will fork. That's what that is. Just grind a little more.
Yeah, to the echo of the whistle.
Yeah,
see what you can get away with.
Hey, Vince said a couple of years ago he could beat you in a foot race, and we laughed about that. But after watching him catch and drag down Chris Johnson from behind, I think he might have the edge, Tom.
I don't know. He's a quick starter, but I don't think he's got. I think if the first 40, he may win, but if we ran two of them, I think I might get
okay.
The second one.
Hey, 301 touchdown passes, passing Elway for number five all by yourself. Does that have any significance for you?
No.
Really?
No. I want to win. That's what I care about. I don't care if we run it, throw it. You know, if we ran for 50 touchdowns in a year, that would make me happier than anything. So I'm just trying to win. I love winning. There's nothing like waking up Monday morning, talking to you guys, winning, going to bed last night, winning, the flight home, winning.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what it's about. That's why we play. That's stats and yards and that's ratings. And I mean, I think that's a bunch of BS. At the end of the day, the thing that matters is winning. And, you know, what I'm most happy about is, you know, the long training camp, preparations for this upcoming game. Everything wasn't perfect in the preseason. We talked a lot about turnovers, penalties, mental errors, you know, and we came out of a game feeling pretty good about that. We got turnovers on defense. You know, the kicking game was complimentary. We won the field position. That's what it takes to be a good football team, and that's what I love being a part of.
And Phil Simms was talking about the plane ride home and how much fun that is. I assume you weren't, or were you, already watching Arizona tape? Or were you just enjoying yourself?
I like to get a jump start on Arizona. So my celebration lasts till I get to the bus, and then from there I'm thinking about Arizona. So I actually got some time in on Arizona and some time this morning, and I feel like the thing about football is when the game ends, the clock is ticking on next week. So the longer you're thinking about celebrating wins and God how great we are and how we got we're on the road to home field advantage, all that BS, you're going to lose next week if that's what you're thinking about. So you got to get on to next week. Whatever we did this last week is going to have no bearing on this week, and you got to put the same time, energy, effort into this week as we did last week, and understand it wasn't perfect last week, win or lose, and try to make improvements on what we need to do, because you've got to continue to accelerate, and you got to continue to get better, and we have a lot of room for improvement on both sides of the ball, and certainly Arizona, they won a tough game yesterday. They're going to come in feeling good about themselves, and we've got a home opener, and we got to go out and try to play a lot better and take care of business at home.
Final question for me, Tom. It was 21-10 Patriots in the third quarter when the sideline microphone picked up Ryan Mouton standing over Aaron Hernandez on the sideline, and you can hear it clear as anything on the broadcast. He said, "I'm going to F you up all day, bitch." How much of that goes on during the course of a game? A lot? A little?
Oh, man. A lot. Yeah.
Does it ever get funny?
I mean, it's funny now. When you're in the heat of it, it's not funny. It's just it's an emotional game. I mean, there's one thing this game you have to play with, and it's emotion. And you have to feel like, you're not at war, but so to speak, you are. I mean, it's mono, it's everything you got. It's physical. I mean, before the whistle blows, at the end of the play, that's what you're doing. You're trying to play as hard as you can, it's just that's the nature of the sport. And the guys who play tougher win, and you win on a consistent basis when you can out-tough the other team. And we found a way to play a bit more physical than they did yesterday, and that was a big part of our success. And that's got to be a strength of our team, and that's something we got to continue to work on and build on. It's really been the mark of our team for a long time to play physical and play smart and certainly play tough.
All right, congratulations on the win. Good luck next Sunday, and try not to scare the hell out of the boys with that bandage on your nose.
I know. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Tom Brady with Dennis and Callahan.